When was the last time that you took matters into your own hands? I think as women, and truly just as humans, we often are working life out in our own thinking, our own power, our own ways. And a lot of times I think we as women, we laugh off our issues with being control freaks, right? We joke about it. But in all sincerity today, as we take a look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 through 31, I want us to pause and consider, are we depending on our God for this life? Or are we still trying in our own efforts to make life happen for ourselves, for our families, our friends, whatever it may be? I want to start off right now and pray to ask God to move in us and open our eyes and open our hearts to the gospel of grace in a new way. So will you pray with me real quick? Father, we thank you that we can gather even through the internet and technology to come around your word and to hear from you. And so I pray for the woman, the listener who ever they are, wherever they are, whether gathered in a group or on their own, I pray that right now you would open our eyes and our hearts to hear from you, to show us Christ, to help us experience your grace in a new way, and to help us walk in freedom in response to who you are and what you've done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are concluding chapter 4 in our study of Galatians today, and Paul has been on really just building an argumentative case since the beginning of chapter 3 when he asked some pretty big questions of the Galatians, of like his astonishment of why they've gone back to what the Judaizers are teaching, this false gospel of adding things, adding works, adding beliefs to the gospel that is by grace through faith in Christ alone. So he's been building this argument. He's been showing us through the Old Testament, through the covenants. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, through our sonship of who we become as children of God. And then last week, Paul was even using evidence of his own relationship with the Galatians to try and still contend for the truth of the gospel that was contending against the Judaizers. Because I just want to remind us, the Judaizers were coming to the Galatians, these Gentile Christians, and saying that in order to be the children of Abraham, in order to be Christians, you must obey all the laws of Moses. You have to live under that old Mosaic covenant. You have to be circumcised. You have to observe these days and these things. And Paul is saying, just as you once followed pagan gods and were lost in the world prior to coming to know Christ when I shared him with you, you've now swung to a different extreme, which is a religion that is false teaching that takes you far from God and is just as bad as if you were worshiping pagan gods. And so he's coming in, and I want us to just outline the text here for the verses. He's coming in, concluding this argument with a question, as he always so masterfully does. He poses a question and pokes at what they're believing. And then he gives us a biblical allegory, an illustration from the Old Testament, from the law in the first five books with Sarah and Hagar, Abraham's offspring, his children, and he interprets that for us. Thank you, Paul. We're so grateful for that. And then lastly, he concludes with just some simple application for the Galatians to understand, again, who they are because of their faith in Jesus and what that now means in their lives as they follow Jesus. So this is going to be our outline. After we walk through these verses, we're going to talk through some of this, and then we'll talk through our takeaways at the end of the lesson. But let's go ahead and read these verses from Galatians 4. Follow along with me. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Now, I don't know about you, but after you read that, and I hope as you studied, you got a little more clarity, but first time reading, that is a confusing passage, is it not? Some of the commentaries say this is the most difficult passage in Galatians to understand because of the illustration and the way that Paul interprets the allegory between Sarah and Hagar. But I want to remind you, in your study, I have here highlighted at the top of the page, whether you use the digital version of the journal or you have a physical journal, in your homework, you were instructed and encouraged to read Genesis chapter 16, 17, and 21 for the Old Testament context of what Paul's talking about here with Abraham, Hagar, and Sarah. So if you have not yet gotten to do that, I hope that you'll go back and read those stories and glean from what God is speaking to us in that. But I want to go back to the question that Paul poses. He says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law?" So he's speaking, I imagine him looking, I mean, he's writing a letter, but if he were present with the Galatians, if I were present with you, "Tell me, you who desire to rely on your own ways and to start following these laws and instructions and religion, do you not listen to the law?" And I think it's a little play on words here because he's like, do you not know the story of how that goes? And he's pointing them back to the law, which can also be known as the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In Genesis, he's telling us that there is a story that relates to what's going on here with the Galatians and the Judaizers. And what the Judaizers are bringing in is actually a reversal of what is the true gospel. So he brings us to the illustration. And in the illustration, he says, okay, the Judaizers have been telling you that you're not really children of Abraham unless you follow the Mosaic law. But he's like, let's remember, Abraham had two sons. And there's a story in those two sons. And that's found back in Genesis 16, 17, and 21. So I want to talk about this allegory. We have it here broken down. I'm going to have some helpful charts. But when you go back to the story, you've got Abraham, who God promised. We've already talked about this through Galatians. God promised that he would make a great nation. He would bless all the nations through the seed of Abraham. And already in Galatians 2 and 3, we saw that that seed is Christ. That God would promise Abraham that he would have a son. He would have a seed. Eventually, that one seed was Jesus Christ. But when God made that promise to Abraham, Abraham and his wife Sarah, they had no children. Actually, we come to find out in those chapters that Sarah is barren. She's been unable to have children. And rather than remembering and believing and trusting God's promise, Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands. The slave woman, the servant, which was normal routine in their life, named Hagar, Sarah thought, you know, I'm barren, I'm getting old. Anybody out there? I'm still single and growing in my age. And I'm thinking, I may not be able to have children at this point in time. I can imagine why Sarah was feeling, okay, time's running out. God's not coming through, so I'm going to help God make this promise come true. So she says, hey, Abraham, a husband, We've got Hagar here. She, I'm sure, is fertile. Let's go ahead and have Hagar have a son so that we can continue on the line of our inheritance. And so she took matters into her own hands, and Abraham went into Hagar, their servant, and Hagar birthed a son. She conceived and she had a son, and his name is Ishmael. And Ishmael and Hagar, now you can imagine, as time went on, Sarah started to feel a little hostile towards and kind of jealous and upset about Hagar getting to have the son that she always wanted to have. And realizing that there was tension and hostility in the home and in the family. And eventually, years later, as Sarah was still barren, God came through on his promise to her, and she was able to conceive, and she bore a son, and his name is Isaac. So I want us to look here at the chart that you can take away. There's a chart in your journal, I believe, that you were able to fill out. But in here in Galatians chapter 4, and knowing from the story of Genesis, let's break down why Paul uses this story as an allegory. Let's say this is the side of Hagar, the slave woman, Sarah, the free woman. As Paul described, he said that the son of the slave was born according to the flesh. So we went ahead and just charted this out. Ishmael is his name. He was born according to the flesh, according to natural means. Hagar was able to have a kid. Sarah wasn't able to have a kid, so she sent Hagar in to Abraham. Let's get this done. We need a child. Hagar being the mom, what resulted in this? Slavery. And what does Paul say it is a picture of in the allegory in Galatians? Present-day Jerusalem. Now imagine, the Galatians, they understand Jerusalem to be the holy city, the place of religion. The Judaizers are from Jerusalem, right? So this statement and this illustration alone is pretty confronting by Paul. The Judaizers would be astonished for him to flip this upside down and say that they would be children of the slave woman, that they would be like Ishmael. This would have been astounding to them and really probably make their blood boil. But what does he say then about the free woman? The free woman, the son, Isaac, he was born through promise. Born through Sarah, not because she was able in her own ability and effort and strength to do that. She was old and barren. But God supernaturally gifted her with this child. And what was the result of this? Freedom is listed in the passage. And he likens this part of the illustration to Jerusalem above. And that was, if you read verse 26, when it says that present Jerusalem, but the Jerusalem above is free and she is our mother, kind of a confusing statement, right? But he follows that with a verse from Isaiah, where he quotes the prophet Isaiah, who the people of Israel had been in exile, things were looking desolate. And at this time, the prophet reminded them, hey, rejoice, O barren one. O barren one is a callback to Sarah, right? Who does not bear? Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate, the barren one, Sarah, Isaac, one, they will be more than those of the one who has a husband. So he was, again, linking them to the original story with Sarah and Abraham. And this was hundreds of years after that. And this is even hundreds of years prior to the Galatians. But what Paul is saying, let's go back to the chart. What he's saying is that the people, the true children of Abraham, who are children of promise, like Isaac, who get freedom in Christ, they are of a heavenly Jerusalem. They are citizens of a kingdom, not of this world. They are not stuck in present-day religious society. They're not stuck in the religious traditions of their own efforts and trying to have a good standing with God. They're free. They're free, and they're living for another kingdom. This one, this free woman, Sarah, not because of her good works, but only because of the grace of God through his promise, that's our mother. Are you making the connection here? Paul is telling the Galatians that by grace through faith in the promise of God is their salvation in Christ alone. It is not based off of their own efforts. It is not based off of religion like the Judaizers are coming in and trying to tell them. The Judaizers are trying to make them like them, make them Jewish, customary traditions of the Jews, adding to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The allegory is meant to show us and point us to the differences between the law and Jesus Christ. We've been talking about the law this entire book, and so he brings back again another illustration to prove to them, to refute the Judaizers' false gospel. So under the law, the Judaizers are promoting the Old Covenant, which is a false gospel, and it's even a religion of nature, of self-reliance. And this is the part that's been convicting for me in this passage, ladies. A lot of times, I can tell myself, I know that salvation is not by my own efforts. It's not by my works. I do not work for salvation with God. But most days, if I am not living by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I'm relying on myself to get things done. I'm not seeking God and the power of His Spirit to direct every part of my being. I'm thinking, I have to take matters into my own hands. What do I need to get done? My busy schedule, how can I manage this? How can I, what can I, what? And there goes my self-reliant nature, which is a religion that will destroy my life. It's very natural and fleshly of us to try and do things on our own. It's who doesn't, right? Every human in our nature lives for ourselves. It's a salvation that they were promoting through the law and through obedience. But Paul is contending and fighting for Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This new covenant that he brings is the true gospel. And you know what? It's a religion of grace. It's one that's dependent on God. It is supernatural and only divine. Sarah, in the picture of Sarah and Hagar, I just want to go back to this one real quick. Sometimes when we read this, I think we start to pit the women against each other, Sarah versus Hagar. And if you just read that story once, you might think, oh, I want to be like Sarah, not like Hagar. Let me remind you, Hagar had a child because of Sarah. This is not a she's better than she. Both are desperately in need of the grace of God. And Sarah, not because of her own works, received the promise of God because God is gracious. We're all a lot like Sarah, but we don't want to be like Sarah in that we take matters into our own hands. We want to be like Sarah in that we are the recipients of a grace we could have never deserved. A grace from an eternal God who is so merciful and loving and kind that he would come through on his promise even though I tried a different way. Even though I walked in my own efforts to make something come true for me, God said, that's not it. And because I am merciful and because I love you, I am going to come through on my promise to you. That's what he did for Sarah, and that's what he can do for you. That's what he does for us in Christ. All of us, we were, just like Paul has been saying earlier in this chapter, we once were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, whether that was pagan ritual gods or a self-reliant religion where we wake up and put on our big girl pants and try and do it ourselves. That's so far from the grace of God. Paul's contending and saying, that's not it. The way the Judaizers are coming in, it's just not it. And so I want us to look at the application that he brings. The application in verses 28 through 31, he says, after the allegory, he interprets it, understanding who the people from Hagar are, who the people from Sarah are, the children of promise. He says, now you brothers, in verse 28, brothers and sisters, ladies, like Isaac, are children of promise. Children of promise. Think of this side of the chart. Faith in Jesus, grace from God, freedom, dependence on God, children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh, which was Ishmael, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, which was Isaac. So again, if you went back and read through Genesis, you would come to find that there was the family was a hot mess. Ishmael and Isaac did not get along. Hagar and Sarah, nobody's getting along because of the tensions and the fleshly nature and sinfulness of all of the situations. So just as that happened, Paul says, so it is now. The same thing is happening now between you and the Judaizers. You're the children of promise. You're here on this side. The Judaizers are contending. They're persecuting Jesus and you because of the false teaching and religion. It's the same story that happened in the law. So verse 30, it says, but what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. So Paul's application, as he's told them this story, hey, remember, yes, we are not all children of Abraham, but let's remember who the children of Abraham were. And he spins the Judaizers' argument upside down and says, there's two different sons, one Ishmael, one Isaac. And who are we? Galatians, for you who have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're the children of the promise. For any, like the Judaizers, who are putting their faith in themselves and in their religion and in their tradition, they are like Ishmael. They are not the children of promise. And verse 30 says to cast that out, because the one of the slave woman, the son of the slave woman, shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So Paul is saying the Judaizers, their false teaching, just like in Genesis, that should be cast out. In the same way, the application is false teaching should be cast out. It is not the true gospel. So his application, Paul's application is, hey, you are the children of promise. You will be persecuted, because that's been the story from the beginning too. Ishmael persecuted Isaac. The Judaizers, they're actually persecuting you because they're putting extra burdens on you that are not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And ladies, this is another very confronting thing that I took away from this study, because a lot of times when we think of persecution in the world, we think of evil and the devil and the world that is hostile and anti-gospel, which is true. But in this case, I want you to consider this. It's a longer quote from John Stott, but I think it's important for us to consider. You might even have to press pause, take a picture of this so you can write it down or keep it, but this will be something I want you to discuss. John Stott says, the persecution of the true church, of Christian believers, is not always by the world, who are strangers, but by our half-brothers, religious people, the nominal church. It has always been so. The Lord Jesus was bitterly opposed, rejected, mocked, and condemned by his own nation. The fiercest opponents of the Apostle Paul were the official church, the Jews. And the greatest enemies of the evangelical faith today are not unbelievers, but the church, the establishment, the hierarchy. Isaac is always mocked and persecuted by Ishmael. This is a confronting reality that Paul is contending strongly for with the Galatians, and that I now feel confronted with in our times and in our culture and in our setting. Is nominal Christianity and our self-reliance our greatest enemy right now against the gospel of grace? I think so. Specifically in our culture where we're living. Because right now, I don't think that most of us can say who are here in the Grove Community Church are not experiencing a great spiritual, physical persecution by the world. But I do think that our self-reliance and our religion and our tradition and thinking that we are good and good in good standing with God based off of our own merits is our greatest threat to the gospel of Jesus in our lives. And I want us to consider that and think, are we relying on ourselves, or are we relying on the Spirit of God for our every breath? Because these are the three main takeaways I want us to talk about. The gospel has always been about God's grace. The gospel has always been about God's grace. It has never been about our doing, our efforts, and our ability. Actually, quite opposite. The gospel is for the needy, the one who can't do it on their own, the barren one, Sarah, who couldn't have the baby. God's promise was for her. God's promise was for Hagar too, the fertile one. She was in a hopeless situation when she got cast out of the home. But you know what? My favorite passage in Genesis 15 and 16, the first time we see that the God who sees, he saw Hagar. So God's grace is for Hagar, and God's grace is for Sarah, the barren one. And we as needy women who are weak in our own selves can rejoice because the gospel has always been about the grace of God. Always been about the grace of God. And in the gospel of grace, we inherit the promises of God. Paul was telling the Galatians that you are children of promise. You get God's promises. And God promised to Abraham that Jesus would come and save the world, that all the nations would be blessed through him. We are evidence of that. We inherit the promises of God in Jesus. We get the kingdom of God. We no longer live for this world, the earthly city, the religion of ourselves, but we live for the Jerusalem above, the heavenly city, the kingdom of God in heaven. It's so different. We inherit the promises of God. We don't earn them and we don't go after them. We inherit them. Remember the sonship lesson from the beginning of chapter 4. We are children of God. The Spirit of God in us cries out, Abba, Father. We get everything that he gives the Son. Everything. And in the gospel of grace, we experience the grace of God. We experience the grace of God. And again, I just want to highlight that picture of Sarah and Hagar. Sarah is not a child of the promise because she was good in herself. She was old. She had rejected God's promise and made a way on her own, which is why Ishmael was even in the picture. But you know what? God, in his loving kindness and mercy, still came through on his promise to her. And he gave her a son. And through her, all the nations were blessed. Through Abraham's offspring came Christ, and we get to now experience the grace of God. And when we trust him, we get to experience his power, his Spirit, and his freedom. And the next two chapters of Galatians are that. The very next verse says that it is for freedom that Christ set us free. So don't go back to the yoke of slavery. Don't go back to the religion and the tradition of the Judaizers and the Jewish customs. No, live free in the Spirit of God, because you have received the grace of God in your lives. So ladies, I want you to consider this gospel of grace today. Are you living in the freedom of the gift of grace that God has given you, the inheritance that he pours out on you? Or are you waging war with your nature and your self-reliance and trying to live life on your own? It will never get you anywhere. It will only lead to destruction. When God's word, God's promises, and God's grace lead to eternal life. The gospel has always been about the grace of God.